Angels announce Jesus' birth to shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Phil, thank you very much for reading that to us. Well, Maidenhead as a town centre is a building site. You can't avoid it. There are cranes everywhere. And I don't know whether you've noticed it, but I like those little red lights on the top of it, the warning lights. I think they're kind of the supplement, the kind of the town's Christmas decorations. The council is hoping that all these new flats and retail stores will transform and revitalise our town centre. But before any new premises can be built, the old ones have to be knocked down and cleared out of the way. Only when a site is cleared can you build something fresh and better. And I think that's often what needs to happen with people's attitudes to an understanding of Christmas. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to get caught up with the replay of all the Christmas number one hits. They start in the beginning of December, don't they? End of November, they start, and they just go on and on and on. What's your favourite? Mine is Slade, This Is Christmas. And then there's all the Christmas cards to get done. There's the shopping for people. There is the food, sorting out who's going to visit who and who's going to come. And it's a busy time. For some, it's kind of end of tax years and getting reports ready. It's absolutely manic. And actually, it's so hard to try and get everything done that we don't stop to think what we're celebrating this Christmas. Even the carol services like this can, if we're not careful, just degenerate to part of the Christmas routine. So it's so good just to have a few moments like this to think about what the angels were saying when they burst into song before the shepherds. Yeah, there are Luke's Gospels on the chairs. You should have seen one. It'd be great if you could turn to it and turn to the bottom of page 6. Because there you've got what they said. These are Luke Gospels. This is an account, one of the four accounts of Jesus' life. And at the bottom of page 6, we read, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" It's been well documented how on Christmas Eve in 1914, during the First World War, spontaneous truces took place along the Western Front. The British and German forces sang carols to each other. They ventured onto no man's land to bury their dead. They swapped cigarettes and souvenirs, and some even had a game of football. But it was only for a very short time. And on Boxing Day, the hostilities resumed. The peace on earth and goodwill towards men didn't come to much. And if that is the message of Christmas, then the history of the last 2,000 years since Christ's birth seems to imply that that message has been extraordinarily ineffective. See, where's the peace on earth and goodwill towards people in Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Yemen? And it's not just in armed conflicts between nations. Where is the peace in our nation? We are a divided country. We're divided over Brexit. We're divided between the haves and the have-nots. And these divisions and lack of peace are found not just in society at large, but they're sometimes found in the home. Some people rejoice in family reunions and bonhomie over Christmas, but for many, the pressures of Christmas only adds to the arguments and lack of goodwill. Certainly for the social services, Christmas and the time immediately after it is their busiest. So what then is this peace and favor that the angels announce to the shepherds? Well, before we can understand, we need to clear the site. I need to tell you what the angels are not promising. The angels aren't promising peace from war. In fact, Jesus promised that there will always be wars and rumors of wars right till the end of history. Right up to that time, till he returns to judge the living and the dead. There will never be lasting peace in that sense until he returns. We human beings are far too self-centered and proud to stop all conflict. Nor are the angels promising peace in the home. Jesus once said, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." And the point that Jesus was making there was that those who believe and follow him should not be surprised to find themselves facing opposition. And sometimes that can even come from close family members. It sadly happens. The other day, a woman told me that when she decided to come to church for the first time, that her husband wasn't happy and gave her a really hard time about it. Nor are the angels promising peace in the heart, a calm inner spirit. That may follow. That often does, but that is not what is being talked about here. No, the peace that the angels are announcing is a peace with God. Now, this comes at a great shock to many because they were never aware that they were at war with God in the first place. God's up there, we're down here. He may not fill our thoughts, but we do the best that we can. And when we're in some desperate need, we call on him. So what's the problem? But naturally, things aren't right between us human beings and our Creator. Let me give an illustration. Here's a ship's captain. He's a tremendous captain. He's loved and respected by his crew. He's a brilliant navigator and a skilled mariner. He runs a very happy ship. There's just one problem. He sails under a pirate's flag. What do those qualities make him? They just make him a more accomplished pirate. And it is the same with us. We may be loved and respected by our, our family and friends and work colleagues. We may have great skills and run a happy home and business. But when it comes to relating to God, all of us, however good we are, have been sailing under the pirate's flag. We want to call the shots. We want to decide what is right and wrong. To coin the words of Frank Sinatra, when it comes to life, I did it my way. We live as if we are God. And no wonder, with over 7 billion people living as if they are God, that we have the problems that we do in the world. And some of us may be very conscious that doing life my way hasn't gone well. We know that we have made or are making a hash of life. And we know that we're alienated from God. It is a dreadful situation to find yourself in, at odds with the living God, with the Creator. But 2,000 years ago, God acted to establish peace with rebellious humanity. And it involved Almighty God Himself taking on human form and being born of a woman. No wonder that first Christmas saw angels popping up all over the place. This was and is the most significant event in human history. The birth of the Lord Jesus, who came into the world to establish peace with God. But that's not all, for the peace that the angels announced is not only peace with God, it's also a gift from God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Now, Christmas can be a very expensive time, and many people at Christmas run up big debts. Most people manage to pay them off, but some can't. And bit by bit, that situation becomes worse and worse and worse. Well, when it comes to relating to the living God, we've all run up massive debts which we cannot repay. Some like to think that the good deeds they do make up for and pay off for the evil that they've done. But that sort of thinking actually is seriously flawed. Just because some of the time I behave as I should doesn't make up for those times when I don't. Let me give you an illustration. Imagine I had too much to drink at a Christmas party. And I drove my car and knocked somebody over at a pedestrian crossing. There would be no point my pleading to the judge, "Look, sir, can't you ignore what I've done, because I'm really sorry, and I'm normally a very careful driver. I observe the speed limits, I don't make a habit of drinking over the limit, and I pay my taxes, and I try to be a good husband and father, and I try to be an upstanding member of society. Can't you just take that into consideration?" No just human judge would be persuaded by such a plea, nor will the God of justice be persuaded by us trying to plead our moral endeavors. No, when it comes to relating to God, we have run up huge debts which we cannot pay. But the Almighty God, in His generosity, has done something about our plight. In Jesus, He has entered our world so that He might grow up and to die on a cross in order to pay off Himself the debt of our sinful rebellion. I owed a debt I could not pay, but He paid a debt He did not owe. Jesus died on the cross in our place, bearing the punishment our sins deserve. No wonder the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." His generosity, his kindness, his goodness, his mercy. God's Son had to come from heaven to earth before he could take me from earth to heaven. And he has done this freely for us. This peace is a gift. We cannot earn it. We cannot achieve it. We can only receive it. And so can I ask this Christmas, have you received this gift of peace? Your personal circumstances may be far from peaceful. You may be in inner turmoil, burdened by a host of complex problems. Nevertheless, it is possible for us to be at peace with God. And this is what God wants for us. And we glorify God when, realizing our greatest need, we embrace his generous and most wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have peace with God through Jesus, God's Spirit comes up and takes up residence in our lives. He begins to work in us and through us and to address the messy, painful, difficult situations that are part of life in this fallen world, those situations that we find ourselves in. But if we choose to disregard Jesus and keep his arm's length, then we can have no peace with God, and instead we multiply our guilt before God. In Jesus Christ, God gave himself fully to us. And he calls each of us this Christmas to give ourselves fully to him. Now, many of us here will have received this gift of peace, and you have come here this evening to sing these carols, to rejoice, to celebrate. And that is great, and keep on doing that. Keep on doing it, not only for the next few days, but this is to be our constant state of gratitude in life to a God who has been so generous and kind to us, though we've treated him so badly, showers his mercy and grace upon us. When he has given so much to us, what can we withhold from him? There will be those of us here who haven't received Jesus and laid their lives before him. Perhaps you don't realize your need. Perhaps you doubt whether any of this is true. Well, can I do my plug of encouraging you to take things further? The Christian invitation is always come and see. It's never kind of shut your eyes and believe. And so, look, if you would take away this Luke's gospel in your hands, take it away and read it over the Christmas period. Read again what Luke accounts of those events for yourselves. On the back of the service sheet, you'll see a course which will be run in the new year called Looking at the Life of Jesus. It'll be great fun to do that in a small group, if that would be interest for you. And then, of course, that Real Lives Week will be a tremendous time to investigate things further. But there may be some of us here. There may be just one or two of us here. Amongst such a crowd, I imagine there are more than that, actually, who know that things are not right between them and God. But actually, you want to have peace with God. And why don't you now receive and accept the gift of friendship that God longs for you to enjoy? You see, to receive the gift, we need and must receive the one who's made that gift possible, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask him to come and take control of our life, to change us from the inside out. We simply need to believe in him and trust him and receive him. And there may be some of us who have never done that personally. Well, are you ready to do that? And if you are, then as I now close and lead us in prayer, why don't you make the prayer that I'm going to pray your own? I'll pray a short prayer, just echo it quietly in your heart, phrase by phrase, as I pray it. If there's not something appropriate for you, pray something else which is. But if this is a prayer you want to make, make it your own. Let's just bow our heads now. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you want us to know your peace and friendship. Thank you for sending Jesus into our world to be our rescuer. I acknowledge I have wronged you. But I come to you now. Please forgive my rebellion. Lord Jesus, I place my trust in you. Please take control of my life and lead me in your ways. Amen. Well, if anybody here has truly prayed that prayer for the first time, can I say today is a great day because God has heard and answered that prayer. Unlike us, he keeps his promises, and he's promised that to all who receive him, he will give them the right to become children of the living God. Do tell somebody what you have done, and if you'd like to, you can come up and tell me. I've got a booklet I would love to give you. But this is just the beginning. And enjoy Christmas, knowing that you're at peace with the living God.